This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch and Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome to the show. I hope everybody survived Hurricane Sandy in one piece, and we are blessed to all be here. We want to definitely give our condolences to those who have lost loved ones in the hurricane, and we also definitely want to give our prayers to those who are still out there suffering without power or may have lost their homes, may have lost everything they have, and we hope that their recovery will be one that is a quick one and one that will bring them stability at some point in time very, very soon. We're going to have a good show today talking about Hurricane Sandy and talking about how to get past this, how to recover from it, but then also how to prepare for the future. Because as we all know, whether it be a hurricane or Armageddon snowstorm or any kind of earthquake or anything, we need to be prepared for all these kind of disasters, because it's not a matter of if they're going to come. It's a matter of when. I have on the line with me the experts from the Insurance Institute for Business and Home Safety, Brenda O'Connor, who is the we were joking. I'm going to call her the global senior vice president, but her actual title is the senior vice president of communications at the Insurance Institute for Business and Home Safety. She's on the line. Brenda, thank you for joining me on Fed Access.
Thank you, Derek. Pleasure to be here.
You know, Hurricane Sandy, from you and you know, and maybe putting this in perspective about what you guys do, and maybe start off, Brenda, because I think the reason I wanted to have you on the show, and I've had you on here before, because you guys represent the insurance industry, who basically is going to be helping people recover. What's your take from Hurricane Sandy? What are you seeing? What are you hearing? And what do you guys take from this?
Well, let me tell you a couple things. We are the, as you say, Insurance Institute for Business and Home Safety, and all of our members are insurance companies that sell homeowners and commercial property insurance. So what we try to do at our institute is actually anticipate the kinds of things that Mother Nature is going to throw at us. We've got a research center in South Carolina where we literally recreate Mother Nature inside a laboratory. So we then share that information with the insurance companies so they can share it with their policyholders with the hope that they will use this information to prepare for whatever the next storm or natural disaster may be. Now, we've just come through Hurricane Sandy, and I really appreciated your comments at the top of the show there. We, too, are just devastated by the losses that people have suffered from this storm. I think we've all seen the images on television and read about what's happening, and it is really tough for folks. So I appreciate the fact that you sent some prayers out for everybody, because it's going to be a long time recovering from this.
Without question.
So, at this point, what we would like to do is, first of all, make sure that people are staying safe right now. We are still in the aftermath of the storm. It has passed by, but, you know, things are still a mess. There are still power lines down. There are trees down all over the place in the Northeast and the Mid-Atlantic states. So people really need to try to stay safe. Now, getting to the insurance aspect of this, as you were just asking about, our companies flew into action the minute they heard Hurricane Sandy was on the way. Mm. They let their people know, and by people I mean their policyholders, how they could make a claim, what they needed to do. A lot of them had the 800 number so people can call in and let them know what's going on. And at this point, there are a lot of different estimates of what the damage will be. It's going to be in the billions, it looks like, which is a lot of money, as you can imagine.
Without question. Hey, and you know, and let me just interject real quick. As the insurance companies and are preparing people for this, and even, you know, when they first heard about it and pre-positioning, did a lot of the insurance companies, you know, just like, you know, a lot of the government agencies start pre-positioning resources in order to you know, get on the ground as soon after? I know some of the areas are still very, very tough to get into because, you know, still the flood waters have not receded yet. But did the insurance company really start pre-positioning resources for this?
Absolutely. Yes, that is a great question. That's exactly what they do. As I say, as soon as they hear a storm is coming, they get on it. They try to get adjusters as close as they can to the center of that storm so that they can be there as soon as people start to, you know, get their heads up and are able to see what the damage is. The adjuster can be there to help them get back on their feet.
Right.
Yeah, they get folks right on the ground as quickly as they can.
You know, with the people who, and many people had to evacuate their homes and everything else, what you know, if, and for those who have evacuated their homes and lost cars and everything else, and now, because it seems as if, especially throughout New Jersey and definitely parts of New York and other states who really got hit, Connecticut, it seems as if some people are going to have to just really completely start over again. I mean, it seems as if there's people who lost everything. For that person, is the insurance going to be able to, or are they going to have to, is it depends on their policy, is insurance going to be able to put them up in a long-term home, you know, help them get restabilized, or is that going to be a dynamic and they need to contact FEMA, they need to use both resources? I mean, what's your suggestions?
Yeah, that's another great question. Most insurance policies have something called alternative living expenses. So if you are put out of your house, you can't get back in, you will have, like I say, what's called alternative living expenses. So that will be some money that you can use to rent a place or even stay in a hotel if need be. Additionally, FEMA and other government resources are available for people who don't maybe have policies that include the alternative living expenses.
Okay, so policies are not always, it depends if you've gotten that piece in your policy that has alternative living expenses. And are the alternative living expenses, is it always contingent upon a certain amount that you may have, you know, bought in your policy that may cover, or is there kind of a standard dynamic that will cover up to, you know, of course it's not going to go overboard, but we'll cover up to $5,000 per month or whatever the case is? I mean, is that standard?
It actually, it goes policy by policy.
Okay, gotcha.
So you need to check your own policy. One of the things we really try to recommend to folks is that not only do you physically prepare your home and your business before a disaster strikes, but you get financially prepared.
Mm.
And that means knowing what's in your insurance policy, being sure you've got the coverage that you need.
And I want to talk about that as we, you know, look at preparing for the future, because that's one of the key tips in terms of preparing for the future. But as you're thinking about right now, you know, these people who have evacuated and may not have even seen the damage of their home, can they just contact the insurance companies and say, listen, I'm gone. I don't even know where we're at right now. We're in a hotel. You know, are the insurance companies even being that proactive for those who have gone and not have not even been able to get back to their locations yet?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Anybody who's in that situation should call their insurer right away.
Okay.
They need to get that claim in process.
Okay.
So, you know, best thing to do is get that 800 number, get on the phone, let them start working on it.
And so even if you don't have the policy in front of you, because a lot of people may have just got out the home real quick or something like that, you know, whoever, find that number, get on the phone with them, and that disaster line, they'll kick in and try to provide some resources to say, listen, we'll put you up in this hotel or we'll put you up in this apartment right now, and we'll get you kind of situated until we can get, you know, find out exactly where your home is at. I mean, is that what people should anticipate?
Yes, if they're completely out of the house and not able to get back, which, as you say, is the case, especially for a lot of people on the Jersey Shore, they're not even able to get into the area at this point. It's not safe.
Right.
So for those folks, absolutely, they should call their insurer. And a lot of times what the insurer will do, is they won't direct them to a specific place for them to stay, but they will let them know how they will provide them the alternative living expenses, and then they'll be able to you know, find something.
Right. They'll be able to find something in the meantime, and then they can call and say, hey, listen, stay, whoever my insurance is, they'll pay for this. And then the hotel or whoever can, they'll understand that process. In preparation for, because insurance companies deal with this all the time, do they already have, you know, the means and methods with hotels kind of already set up that if this does happen or, you know, or what? I mean, is that also part of an insurance company thinking about preparation to know in a region that is off of a flood zone or whatever, that we need to have these pre-established relationships with hotels or whoever who are maybe 50 miles outside of a flood zone and know in a safe area? Is that something that's already thought about?
Not really,
okay.
To tell you the truth. That is not really something that
may be
do.
A good hint, though.
You know, it's a thought. It's a thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, because, I mean, I'm just thinking about, you know, especially is, and I know you guys do a lot of preparation that you can type in on your website, and we'll give that, disastersafety.org, that you guys, you can type in your zip code and figure out what are some of the areas that or what are some of the disasters that you that may be in your line of sight in around your home. And, you know, if you're in a regular flood zone, if you're in a regular whatever zone, that may just be a pre-prep plan, not maybe even for insurance companies, but even for a person to start thinking, you know, like how far, like, you know, what is an area that I can get to that's within driving distance that's usually not impacted by a storm or whatever, that I know that hotels or power will still be on? That may be part of the game plan.
It's a great idea. Great idea for pre-planning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, what are you learning as you guys are looking at Hurricane Sandy? What are some of the lessons that you're learning right now just coming out? I mean, as you're just looking at it and assessing it from either your insurance companies or looking at it from you dealing with this and watching what's on the media, what are you seeing?
Well, I think there are two big lessons. One, the biggest one, and it's all about life safety, is when your local emergency officials tell you to evacuate, mm-hmm. get out.
Mm-hmm.
Do not stay. They're telling you to get out because it's not going to be safe. I mean, we saw a lot of people who found themselves standing on their roofs waiting for emergency services to come and rescue them, mm-hmm. because they tried to ride out the storm.
Right.
You know, and they not only put themselves in danger and their families, but the first responders as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first thing that we learned. Sadly, we learned this from every storm, but I really feel like we cannot tell people that enough. When you get those evacuation orders, get out and get to a safe place.
And the fatalities, unfortunately, sometimes are people who tried to ride it out sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. I mean, it does happen. And I understand that. I mean, we understand it. You know, people are reluctant sometimes to leave their possessions.
Mm-hmm.
They're worried what's going to happen. Maybe if I'm here, I'll be able to save things. I'll be able to do something.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thought process that happens. And I think also they don't really believe that it's going to be as bad as it ends up being.
Sure, sure.
You know?
Or a lot of times, you know, you know how it is in some areas where they were told to evacuate. If it was like off of Ocean City, Maryland, then who didn't get hit as bad. So you may have been like, oh, I could have rode this out. You know, so they, so one hurricane or one storm or one superstorm, they think, well, you know, I rode it out the last time, so I can ride it out again. You know, but what you guys are saying is that don't get into that mindset. Anytime you are told to evacuate, you need to get out.
Exactly. And you are so right. That is exactly what happened in this case with Hurricane Irene last year. A lot of people were told to evacuate. Fortunately, it was not as bad as they, you know, possibly expected. And therefore, people said, oh, it wasn't that bad last time, so I'm going to ride it out this time.
Mm-hmm.
Not a good idea.
Right.
Every storm is different. And, you know, emergency officials don't do these things lightly. I mean, that kicks in a whole series of things that municipalities and states have to make available. And I'm thinking about shelters, for example. If they're telling people to evacuate, they make sure that there are shelters available. If you don't have family or friends that you can go to, they have to provide that, and they do. So anyway, my point is just that, you know, they're not saying this just for kicks.
Right, right.
They are
right.
Truly concerned about life safety.
Exactly. We're going to take a pause right there. When we come back, you know, I want to talk about something really important, because as we go into recovery, We always hear about fraud, and we always hear about, you know, these unscrupulous people coming into a disaster zone and taking advantage of people. And I want to talk to, I know you guys got some interesting stuff on your website on disastersafety.org about trying to, how to avoid scams. And I want to talk about that stuff because I think that's critical as we start going into the next phase of this thing. So we're talking to the Insurance Institute for Business and Home Safety. I have on the line with me the Vice President. The Senior Vice President for Communications at the Insurance Institute for Business and Home Safety, Brenda O'Connor. You can find their website at disastersafety.org. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we have been talking about Hurricane Sandy. We've been talking about what's going on in terms of the rescue and recovery efforts. And also we're going to be talking about how to prepare for the future. Talking to the Insurance Institute for Business and Home Safety, the Senior Vice President for Communications, Brenda O'Connor, is on the line with me right now. They're experts at this whole thing, and their website is disastersafety.org. A lot of great stuff on there. We'll talk about more about the website later on in the show. But Brenda, you know, recovery, as people are starting to think about possibly, you know, rebuilding homes or kind of assessing, you know, take it from the insurance side of it. You know, one, should people rethink about rebuilding in an area that if they're right by the water? Are insurance companies kind of starting to rethink that dynamic? And then two, if a person is rebuilding, how do you avoid, you know, being taken for granted by somebody who said, oh, I'm a builder or I'm this, that and the other, and then you give them money? And what are the different scams that you guys are usually see after a disaster?
Great questions, Derek. Let me take those separately. So we'll talk about how people can avoid being victimized twice,
okay,
once by the storm and then again by unscrupulous contractors that may be out there, most of whom, by the way, I want to say right up front, most contractors are honest, hardworking people.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few, however, who are going to take advantage of people, especially after a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about what folks can do to avoid becoming a victim to some of these folks who are not going to be as honest and as upfront as they should be.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, you're going to be going back into your house. Let's talk about repairing. Okay, you've got damage, you see what's going on, you start to look at it, and somebody knocks on your door and says, hey, I'll fix that roof for you, or I will, you know, fix up this porch where you've got some damage. That is almost never a good idea. Because people who are walking around looking for business like that usually aren't the folks that you want to do business with.
Hmm.
The people you want to do business with are those who you find through either friends or family who have used them before. They have some experience with them. You can look up folks on the Better Business Bureau website, another good place to go. And many people are familiar with Angie's List now, which is out there. That's actually a consumer rating for contractors. But it does give you a lot of information and lets you know, who are the reputable folks. Let me tell you about some of the scams that people can fall prey to. One of the things is related to down payments. You know, some contractors will demand a very large down payment before mm-hmm. they will make any repairs, and then the next thing you know, they're gone and virtually no work has been done.
Mm.
So you want to be real careful not to put up a lot of money up front. A little bit is one thing, but not a lot.
And when we're talking about a lot, I mean, and I know sometimes it's hard to say a number, but if they give you an estimate and then they say, well, we're going to need help, we're going to need half of this. I mean, are we talking about that kind of extreme amount or something like that? Is that what we're looking at?
Yes. If you're talking about repairs that are going to be, let's say, $1,000
mm-hmm.
or more, and they want 50% of that, that's a lot of money.
Okay.
You know, for someone that you don't know. And you can negotiate that, and you can say, I'll give you 10%. I think that's fair. That's good faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I intend to pay this bill, but I want to see some work before we do, you know, anything further. You can also put together a payment schedule so that you say, you know, when you do this part, I'll pay you, you know, another 10%. And then when this piece is done, you get 20%, you know, something like that.
Okay.
That seems to work well for people, too.
Okay.
That way, you know, also, at the time frame.
Right.
Because that can be a problem, too, with people, you know, working on a whole bunch of different projects because the whole neighborhood's got problems, and you really get, you know, to the point where you're weeks and months into something and the repairs aren't getting made.
Right. Okay. Keep on going.
Okay, another problem that we see, again, this is a different kind of scam, but it involves using poor quality products.
Mm.
So you really don't want to have a contractor that's giving you low quality work or using cheap materials.
Okay.
You'll only have to redo the repairs. So that's one where you want them to tell you specifically what they're going to use.
Now, you know, the question of it is that, you know, for a person who, and maybe some people who do their own home repairs may know what quality is. But if you're that person, and let me ask this, you know, Brenda, are the scammers, are they usually trying to find, I don't know, do they have a profile of a person who they're trying to find? Are they usually trying to find, and I'm not, you know, trying to stereotype or anything, are they trying to find maybe the older person who's home alone or older couple who may, you know, who is not, don't necessarily have a whole bunch of family? Are they looking for a certain kind of target, or have you seen anybody get scammed?
Yeah, anybody can be a victim of a scam, absolutely. But you are right that these guys will look for people who are more vulnerable.
Okay.
And you gave a good example there. An elderly person living alone is going to be more vulnerable to this type of scam because they may not have family to help them sort through all these things.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. These guys definitely look for people who are, as I say, more vulnerable.
And with insurance companies, are the insurance companies usually just giving out a check, like a lot, you know, so after the adjuster has come out and done their assessment, or you know, done the damage assessment, is the insurance company usually just kind of giving out a check, or are the insurance companies now even recommending, saying, listen, here's a list of contractors who we know are solid people, or is you know, sometimes it's just hard to do that. I mean, what can people expect?
Yeah, that is a great question. There are a number of insurance companies who do have contractor networks.
Mm-hmm.
So they will tell you, you know, we're working with so-and-so, and here is a list of all the contractors that we know in your area who we can vouch for. They are reputable, and you can choose one. And it's usually quite a few.
Okay.
They don't, you know, give you just one or two. They give you several,
okay.
Which is great. You're right, from a consumer aspect, because they've done the research for you. You know, you don't have to research whether or not this person is reputable.
Right.
Not all insurers do that, but you know, as I said earlier, the other way you can do the research yourself is through the Better Business Bureau, through Angie's List, and those kind of things.
Mm-hmm. Should people, and I know something with the two things you've talked about so far, with the down payment disappearing and the down payment, you know, the kind of the whole, you know, demanding a large down payment, then they come and then they kind of disappear, and kind of using this, you know, really, really cheap material. Do you find that a lot of times these scams work when people are kind of rushed, you know, or are also these people kind of pressuring people like, hey, listen, we're here to do this right now. And then people have an emotional take. They want to get their lives back in order quickly. Would you recommend for people to slow it down? You know, get as much information about the contractor as possible, and then maybe call a family member or maybe call somebody in the city or a friend or whatever and say, hey, listen, can you check these people out? I mean, what would you recommend?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Folks that have just gone through a storm like Hurricane Sandy are under tremendous emotional stress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the last thing they need is someone trying to take advantage of them when they're down. And you're right, slowing down the process is a good idea. Trying to get some help from either neighbor, family, friends, really good idea for people. You know, some of the other things that I just want to mention, you should never work with any contractor that is not licensed and insured.
Mm, okay.
And they will be able to show you that.
Okay.
You know, they've got a card, and they'll show it right to you, so you will know.
And should they be licensed and insured in that state, or do you ever have contractors who are coming from other states who possibly see business opportunities and say, I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, so some contractors who are already in that state are going to possibly be overwhelmed. Should a validity be if a contractor came out of Maryland or Virginia and they said, listen, we're here, should you still take that as a valid contract? I mean, a valid insurance?
No, you want to get somebody who's licensed in your state.
Okay.
And one of the main reasons is they need to know what the requirements are in that state. Okay?
Gotcha.
So the codes are different in different places. They need to know, you know, the types of materials and, like I said, the requirements that the code in that particular area requires.
Okay.
So it's important that they be in that state.
And with those licenses and everything else, they should have a number that you can possibly call and check out to make sure that they are truly legitimate.
That's exactly right.
And everything else. So you should probably write this information down, not just have somebody show it to you, but you also write it down so you can do your due diligence.
Yes. Yes.
Gotcha.
Definitely.
You know what?
And a lot of contractors will have that license number right on a contract.
Okay.
So if they are, you know, going to give you a contract, which they should, you got to get everything in writing.
Okay.
You know, never a handshake deal is not acceptable.
So you need to get an estimate in writing. You need to get a contract. You need to get all these things and then then slow it down. Read over this stuff. Check these people out before you even put any kind of money down on it or let them start doing anything.
Right. Exactly. You want them to put, you know, what the cost is going to be, specifically what work they're going to do, what's the time schedule, what kind of guarantees do they provide, what's the payment schedule, you know, and any other expectations that need to be detailed.
Brenda,
that all should be in writing.
Brenda, hold it right there. We've got more. I know that there's several other pieces to this fraud stuff, and this is important information, so I want to come right back to this in the next segment. We got to take a quick break. We are talking about Hurricane Sandy, and we are talking about how to recover from it. You know, for many people, insurance is going to be part of the process of recovering from the hurricane. We're talking to Brenda O'Connor. She's the Senior Vice President of Communications for the Insurance Institute for Business and Home Safety. They've got a lot of great information. You can find their website at disastersafety.org, disastersafety.org. They've got a big piece on here about recovering and then avoiding scams. And so it needs to be read. But we're going to talk about this a little bit more when we come back. You listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we are having a very, very important show about how to recover from Hurricane Sandy. A lot of people up the East Coast are now facing the point of we're getting past the point of rescue soon. Now we're going to be going into the dynamics of recovering from this superstorm that came through and caused so much damage up in New Jersey and New York and Connecticut and other places. We're talking about this with the Insurance Institute for Business and Home Safety. They've got a lot of great information on their website at disastersafety.org. And I have the pleasure of having Brenda O'Connor. She's the Senior Vice President for Communications on, and she's talking about these different things. Brenda, we talked about the down payment concern about a heavy down payment being part of the scam, and then all of a sudden these people disappeared, the down payment disappearing. We talked about bad and cheap quality being a scam, that, you know, a contractor comes in and use inferior quality materials in terms of repairing a house or rebuilding a house. What are some of the other scams that you see as common?
Some of the other things that happen is, and this is really unbelievable, you'll have a certain amount of damage to your home or your business,
mm-hmm.
and the next thing you know, there's more, or it seems like there's more. Well, a lot of times contractors will get in there and start actually creating damage and saying, oh, you got to repair this too.
Right, so sure.
It's another scam.
Wow. And it's almost like the mechanic who creates a problem, you know, in your car.
It's exactly the same idea.
Yeah. And so and because a lot of times people don't know, you may let that contractor walk around the house and do you recommend that a person, and I guess this is the problem with somebody taking advantage of an elderly person or whatever, should they maybe try to say, you know what, before I have somebody come over, I need to have somebody with me who can go around with them. Maybe I can't get around as much. You know, I mean, if somebody has an elderly family member, should they be trying to get to them or at least try to put somebody in place to help them before they meet with the contractor?
Definitely. Mm. Definitely. That is an excellent idea because it is very hard, especially if you're talking about roof damage.
Mm-hmm.
Even, you know, able-bodied folks are gonna have a hard time getting up on the roof.
And you probably wouldn't want to. I mean, because you may fall.
No.
Yeah.
You do not. You want to stay safe.
Right.
But a lot of times what the reputable contractors will do is take pictures.
Mm.
Especially this day, you know, everybody's cell phone's got a camera on it. So while they're up there, that's something you can ask them to do, is take some photos, show me what you're talking about, explain what the damage is, and then how you're going to fix it.
Okay. You know, Brenda, is there a dynamic of the too good to be true type scenario? And because, I mean, to me, some of this where we talked about kind of either the bad quality or whatever, if a price is too good to possibly be true, should you be concerned about that? I mean, is that possibly a scam scenario that these people are going to use inferior quality products and things? I mean, of course, everybody wants to get a good deal. And everybody wants to come out with the best deal on their home. But are we getting into situations that you've seen where people suffer because of that?
Yes, yes, that definitely does happen. And you're right. If the price is just fantastic, something might be amiss.
Right.
That is a red flag.
Right, right, right. You know, I see a couple on here about kind of paying your deductible and then contractors working with your insurance in terms of the contractor scam. What happens with the paying your deductible scam? Where they talked about offering to pay your insurance deductible.
Right. They will offer to pay your insurance deductible, saying that, okay, you know, you have a policy, and under that policy, you have a $500 deductible. And they'll say, oh, we'll pay that for you. Don't worry. Hmm. That's just to lure you in to get your business. And, in fact, they often don't end up paying that deductible, and you end up having to pay it as well.
Wow. Wow. And then with the whole thing about contractors kind of working with your insurance, you know, and I'm reading here, we're talking about, you know, if a person doesn't allow, you can avoid losing control and oversight of your insurance claim by preventing a professional contractor from working directly with your insurance. Should you have the contractor working directly with the insurance company rather than you just taking a check yourself and paying the contractor? Is that a better strategy?
It's not a bad idea, and it depends on your insurer.
Okay.
Because as I mentioned, there are some insurance companies who have contractor networks with whom they do business. Most of them, however, most insurers want you to work with that contractor because you're on site.
Okay.
And they're not.
Okay.
So
okay.
It's a lot harder for them, you know, from a distance to make sure that things are being done
appropriately. The quality is being done. Well, what about for payment? I mean, is that still the case? I mean, should you know, are most people going to just get this lump sum paid out to them, you know, from previous disasters? Is that the way the insurance industry has gone now, where we give you a lump sum, or has it been that the contractor has to kind of work with the insurance company to submit the work they've done, then the insurance company cuts a check?
Yeah, most of the time, the policyholder will get a check from the insurance company.
Okay, and they can do what they want to do with
that. And then it's up to them to pay the contractor.
Got you. That's why these scams are so important, because these people know that. They're getting this lump sum of money, and
exactly.
So they see all this money that's going to be out there given to, you know, a number of different people. So they're, you know, they're ready and waiting.
Yes,
wow.
That's it.
Wow. You know, I'm looking at a couple of things on your website where it says, you know, the ways to avoid it. And you mentioned a couple of things about verifying license, and you've got kind of and you mentioned also about signing a contract and then conducting a background check. Is that, you know, is in a situation like that, is that something that's easily done, or is that something maybe you got to call somebody from out of state who still has power to do? I mean, you know, what's your recommendations on that?
On the background check, usually the Better Business Bureau can very quickly let you know.
Okay.
So
you just kind of find a Better Business Bureau, and then maybe they can run that down for you.
Exactly.
Okay. Got it. You know, with flooded vehicles, and you got a piece on here that, you know, what's the concern about that, you know, with the flooded vehicles? Are a lot of people trying to put those vehicles back into the market, into the marketplace, and selling these damaged cars rather than junking them? I mean, what happens? What's the concern with the insurance industry about that?
Yeah, that's a good point. I will tell you that we don't work with the auto insurers at all. We just do property.
Yeah.
But in my previous life, I did work with auto insurers.
Yeah.
So I can tell you, boy, after Katrina, it was just horrible. What happens is exactly what you said. The cars will be flooded. Then they can get cleaned up. They look okay. They might start okay. So you go to buy the car. It seems good. It starts okay. You buy it. And then very shortly, things start to go downhill.
Mm-hmm.
So for quite a long time after Katrina, there was discussion about Katrina cars, because what they would do is, you know, a big scam would be to take a car carrier, all right, load it up with, let's say, what, 10 or 12, you see them on the highways, mm-hmm. those big trucks that carry cars, and take them to other states outside of the area where the disaster occurred. So those people aren't even thinking about that.
Wow. Wow.
They have no idea that this
that
car
these came
from
Katrina area, mm-hmm. from a flood zone. And given the impact, I mean, we've seen so many cars that, you know, have been damaged by this thing. And usually after a car has been flood damaged, this is not in, you know, you just got to let that car go.
That's
you know.
Right.
And I see on here that there's a National Insurance Crime Bureau and they're working with law enforcement. So people can check out things through that National Insurance Crime Bureau?
Yes, they are a terrific resource.
Okay. And that resource for anybody who's out there listening is NICB.org. NICB.org. And so that's a very, very big piece right there that people should be taking a look at. You know, as we're thinking about, you know, the recovery dynamic and avoiding scams and kind of going from there, is there anything in terms of preparing for the future? And I know you guys got a lot of good stuff on here. Is there anything in terms of preparing for the future that businesses and people with homes should start thinking about for future disasters?
Yes, I would say there are a couple of things. If you are a business, particularly a small business, one of the things that you want to do is make sure you've got a business continuity plan in place. And what that means is if your business is interrupted, meaning, so let's say you were a diner in New Jersey and here comes Hurricane Sandy, you got to close your doors, you're going to be losing money every day, you know. Those places operate on pretty thin margins. Now, what you can do to help yourself is prepare ahead of time. Make sure you have all your employees, you know, information, contact information, so you can let them know what's going on. Make sure you have all your suppliers, so you can let them know. You don't want them trying to deliver things to you, you know, in the middle of a disaster or just after if you're still closed.
And Brenda, hold it right there. We need to take a real quick break and then go into this last segment. I want you to continue about this, you know, continuity of operations plan, because I think this is some good stuff that people need to hear about, both on a business level as well as a home level as well. We're going to take a quick break. We're talking to IBHS, which stands for the Insurance Institute for Business and Home Safety. Their website is disastersafety.org. They are basically experts from the insurance industry on how to deal with any kind of disaster, any kind of safety issues and everything else. The insurance companies put a lot of money into maybe preparing and preventing people from having to experience a number of different things when disasters happen. So you can find a lot of good stuff on there. We're talking to Brenda O'Connor. She's the Senior Vice President of Communications. And we'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we have been talking about a number of good issues about Hurricane Sandy and about the recovery, about how do you avoid scams when you're trying to recover and repair your home and maybe deal with your cars and everything else. How do you recover in a safe and sound way that you can be assured that the people who are working for you are legitimate and going to do the best job for you? We're talking to the Insurance Institute for Business and Home Safety. On the line with us is Brenda O'Connor. She's the Senior Vice President for Communications at the Insurance Institute for Business and Home Safety. Their website is disastersafety.org. And, you know, I give out this website because there's a lot of good information on there that they've done that will help you prepare for this. But also, if you're dealing with something right now and you have access to a smartphone or access to the internet, it's also a good website to get some information on how to deal with this current situation. Brenda, we were talking about kind of preparing for the future, because we both know that there's going to be another storm. There's going to be another hurricane. There's going to be another major snowstorm or something's going to happen. You know, you're talking about this continuity of operation plan or sometimes kind of COOP or COOP. What else should be included in that?
Okay. As you say, there are a number of things. IBHS actually has a free kit that will help businesses make this kind of plan for themselves. It's called Open for Business, and people can find it on our website and are welcome to it. We make it free and available because we know how important it is, and especially small business, you know, we want to make sure that they have access to this kind of planning and, you know, facility information.
Sure.
So the other things that should be in there, as I mentioned, were your employees, make sure you got everybody's contact information, the suppliers for your business, and then, you know, particularly small businesses, the quicker you can get back up and running, the better.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's on a limited basis, that really lets your customers know that you are there for them, that you're, you know, you may not be 100%, but you're there.
Right.
And people appreciate that, and that will help you get back on your feet in the long run. One of the things that that we know is important is if you don't open, 1 in 4 businesses that are forced to close after a disaster never reopen.
Hmm.
So the quicker you get back, the better.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a pretty staggering statistic.
Right, right. And that's usually kind of in that small business realm. I mean, you know, they just can't afford to get started back up. I mean, the cost of it is just too staggering. Is that the case?
Yes, it is. That's
wow.
Exactly right. It's tough.
And this is where and it seems to be something that, you know, for a small business owner, this may seem to be kind of staggering right now to even deal with or even think about. But what you're saying is not as bad as you think about. It is really kind of putting a business plan in place for disaster. Is that what we're saying?
That's it, exactly.
And in terms of, you know, looking at, you know, how can you abstain? And do you recommend, because I know you got the kind of the risk in your zip code on your website. Would you recommend that somebody kind of go to your website, put your zip code in, and then kind of go what?
Yes, that is a great thing to do because, as you mentioned earlier, Derek, you put your zip code in, and you will get out a little report that will show you which hazards are prevalent in the area where you live or where your business is located.
Okay.
And then you can figure out for each one of those what you should be doing to prepare your home or your business.
Right, right, right. You know, I see something interesting, too. You guys got an app. What's this about?
We do. We worked with the Insurance Information Institute, and we put together a disaster app, which is fantastic. It's a mobile app. You
okay.
can use it on iPhones, and it's going to be also available for Androids coming soon.
Okay.
And it literally takes you through. We have checklists for a lot of the major disasters, so hurricanes, wildfires, freezing weather, earthquakes. You know, they're all in there, and it will just take you through very quickly what you need to do to get ready.
Wow, wow, wow. So there's a lot of tools out there for disaster planning. I think the key thing is the lesson is to be learned is for any business in any kind of zone that a disaster can happen, planning, it will help, one, save lives, but help, two, get your business back in order. You know, for three, for home people, for home, it helps get your home life back in order quickly if you have that kind of plan.
Yes. You know, one of the things that we really try to emphasize is that a disaster hits the entire community. It's not just the residents. It's not just the businesses. It's everybody. So, you know, if you've got your employees who live in your town and their homes are not habitable, they're not going to be able to come to work. Let's say their homes are doing okay, but the business is closed, then they're not able to keep up their livelihood. So you really need to take a community-wide approach to this and prepare your home and prepare the business as well.
Wow. You know, Brenda, thank you so much for providing. The website, again, is disastersafety.org. A lot of great information on here. We're going to definitely have to have you guys back. You've always been helpful in providing a number of information. But as we're dealing with Hurricane Sandy and also maybe looking towards the future, because it seems as if there's going to be a unique winter possibly, we definitely want to have you back and talking about more about preparation. You got a lot of good stuff on here about generators and other things. We just don't have time to get into it. But I would definitely want to have you guys back in the future to begin talking about this. Thank you so much, Brenda, for sharing this information.
Thank you, Derek. We really appreciate it.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch, Friday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED. Your source for federal news now.